so is my brain. I feel kind of like Paul in this job because I go from place to place. Sometimes I understand the context, sometimes I barely know where I am, and give the word of the Lord to the people. And this is one of those times where I have heard some amazing things about you. I have talked to Pastor Chris about some of the really cool things you've been doing, and y'all made me misty just now, which is a hard thing to do. And I know that the Holy Spirit is present in this place, that you are a Lutheran Pentecostal church. Don't be scared of that. It's okay. The Spirit is here. I don't know how many of you are born and raised Lutherans. I am. And I was born and raised in a Scandinavian Lutheran church outside of Cleveland, Ohio, that for most of my childhood was the exact picture of the Frozen Chosen. We were well behaved. We didn't move during the passing of the peace. And we didn't clap because that would be inappropriate. I started seminary in Chicago, living on the South Side. From 2001 to 2004, I went to a church on the South Side. One of my best friend's dad is a pastor of a church in Harvey, Illinois. All of those stories that you may hear about the South Side of Chicago and its violence issues and its corruption, multiply that by 20 and you have Harvey. It is a suburb that is more violent, more poor, and more stricken by urban blight than most of the worst parts of the South Side of Chicago. And this friend of mine invited me to his church, and I was stoked. His dad's church was predominantly African American, and I was so excited to experience church different from the way I was raised. Church had always bored me. In spite of the fact that I am a pastor, I have always kind of been uncomfortable in church. Hymns never spoke to me when I was growing up. We did setting two from the Green Book my entire childhood. That was it. We never went outside of that. And I was bored. So I was looking forward to some time in the Spirit. So I went there, and I got uncomfortable real fast. Because the people there, they would talk during worship. They would say amen, and clap, and make sounds like mm-hmm. And I was like, what are you all doing talking? Stop, it's church. We're not supposed to respond, we're supposed to sit here. And then came the passing of the peace. And at this time, everyone stood up and started to hug and kiss and talk and move around. And I was really used to greeting the people in front of me, who were the same people because we had assigned seats in my church. Mr. McMurray, peace be with you. Mr. Cole, peace be with you. And then I sat down. And all of a sudden, there's these people moving and hugging. And so I got in the habit of escaping to the bathroom right before the passing of the peace. I would run away because I was not okay with all of this love that was happening around me. But the Holy Spirit decided that I needed a hug. I was going through a lot at the time. While I was in seminary, my father slowly died of brain cancer, and I had a lot of other stuff happening in my life, and I really did need a hug, but I also was afraid that if someone hugged me, I would lose it. So I'd run to the bathroom. One day, right before the passing of the peace, I slowly got up to make my escape, and the Holy Spirit appeared in the form of an old church lady, and she stood in front of me, and she said, not this time. You're passing the peace. And I was like, no, I gotta go to the bathroom. And she was like, no, you don't. You can go after if you really do. You're passing the peace today. And then I was hugged, and I was kissed, and I was loved, and I was brought into this community in a way I never would have understood. And my discomfort started to ease. This was the Holy Spirit. But the discomfort of the different that I had been looking forward to, the different that I was excited about, made me so uncomfortable that I began to crave what I knew. I began to crave setting two of the Green Book and no hugs, because the boredom of what was more comfortable to me than the discomfort of something new and strange and unexpected. I can only imagine what it is like for those who do like the familiar, who are comfortable in church, who love those old hymns like my mom, like many of you. I can only imagine what it's like to go through change in your congregation and in your greater church, to see things that are happening that are unfamiliar and uncomfortable, and to want to stay with that which is the same. To look at the church and to see that it is not the same institution it was when y'all were kids, and know that it will likely be something completely different by the time this generation of kids grows into adults. It may be a little different. The church may be unrecognizable. It may not even look like what we know as church. And that is okay. Because the Holy Spirit speaks to us in our own language, and the Holy Spirit moves those of us who lead the church, pastors and lay people, to speak in ways that the world will understand. Here in this story from the book of Acts, there were people from all over, speaking every language known at the time. Had the disciples been left to their own devices, only a few people would have heard the message of God. They would have only spoken the languages they knew, the languages they understood, and the languages with which they are comfortable. But this is not how the message of God's love gets out to the world, and it's not how the Holy Spirit works. The Holy Spirit doesn't want us to play it safe. The Holy Spirit asks us to get uncomfortable, to go outside of our comfort zones, to do new things, and sometimes when we say no, the Holy Spirit kicks us there anyway. The message of God's love and of Christ's teachings, the message of the movement of the Holy Spirit, has to be spoken in the language of the people. This was one of Martin Luther's greatest revelations of the Reformation. He gave the word of God to the people in German. They could finally understand it beyond pictures and plays. In our day, we need to look at our world and look at our context and figure out how we best speak to those around us about who God is and about how God's love works in our lives. For some people, this may be through traditional liturgical worship with hymns and smells and bells and organ. For some, it may be a rock band or a hip-hop performance or bluegrass. For some, it may involve speaking in tongues. For many who come to this congregation, it involves doing worship in Korean, in Spanish, in Etruscan, in so many other languages. For others, worshiping God, connecting with God, might not happen best in church. And this is something that we struggle with. We hear from young people. I hear from the young people I work with. I connect with God through a beautiful sunset or through hiking. And we have this tendency to look at that and go, yeah, great. But the thing is, that is how people connect with God. We have to understand that, respect it, and learn to work with it. That some people may enter into knowledge of God through yoga, dance, art, hiking, meditation. Some may find God in a sunset while kayaking. Others may find God in a good, heady book. This is uncomfortable for most of us. Most of us prefer the safety of what we know, even if it doesn't work for us anymore or for others, to the discomfort of the unknown. Many would rather fail slowly doing what we have always done than to fail loudly going out with the bang of doing something different. Most of us would rather run to the bathroom and hide than be moved by the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is uncomfortable. She is here to comfort the afflicted and to afflict the comfortable, to move change when it needs to happen, even when the change is not welcome, even when the change is painful. I bet if the followers of Jesus knew what was coming, they would have tried to get away. If they knew they would be overtaken, sent out of themselves, and possessed to speak in a foreign tongue, And this is weird. I am a campus pastor, and even my students hate change. This is not what I expected when I got there. I thought, awesome, I'm a campus pastor. I can do experimental things and crazy new worship. And they were like, hold an evening prayer every week, please. I bet when I have moved to make changes, people have wondered if I am drunk. I wouldn't doubt some of the things Pastor Chris has suggested here. Y'all have been like, you've been drinking, Pastor Chris? Because that's a weird idea. And maybe had people come to your Christmas service and seen all of these people worshiping together in different formats from different cultures, they would have been like, what is going on? Y'all are drunk. But you know that that was the Holy Spirit. That the Holy Spirit was here and present with you as you gathered all of the communities that worship in this place to worship together. As strange and weird as it may have been, I hear it was beautiful and transformative and fun and a way to join communities that don't see each other very often. From what I am told, there are amazing things happening in this place. The way you're coming together, even intermittently with those who speak in other tongues, those who do worship and life differently than you do, the Holy Spirit is in this place, and it will continue to make you uncomfortable, no doubt. The Holy Spirit will continue to ask you to do things that seem totally bizarre, to overtake members of your community with weird new ideas that may or may not work. But she will be with you. She will speak to you. She will comfort you as she changes you, walking with you through your growing pains. And this is how the church becomes something new. This is how the church speaks to future generations. And this is how the church stays alive amidst all of the talk that the church is dying and the church is dead. The Holy Spirit gives us ways to speak to new people in new ways and in new places, and we have to learn to trust that. We have to learn to trust that things that are different are not always bad, and doing things differently opens up God's message to a new generation, to new people who haven't heard about Jesus Christ and the amazing love of God. This is how we as a people and as a church stay alive, by letting the Holy Spirit in, by allowing ourselves to be changed and to change those around us. By the power of the Holy Spirit, by diving into the context we live in, by getting with discomfort. This is the Holy Spirit. This is who we are, and this is how we stay alive. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, let all God's people say, amen.
Amen.